You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. Being in Connecticut, I've had the privilege of not only doing this podcast for you, but also covering both the University of Connecticut and the Connecticut Sun for Hoopfeed. This week, we're giving you a little more in-depth look at the Connecticut Sun with a series of interviews that were done at Media Day. Tina Charles may be the league MVP, but the Sun also has one of the best backcourt combinations in the league with Kara Lawson, Allison Hightower, and Renee Montgomery. The first interview you'll hear today is two of those three, the starter, Lawson and Hightower, discussing what to look for this season. With Asia Jones sitting out the season with injuries, the power forward slot is wide open in Connecticut, and we're going to look at the participants in the battle for playing time with the rest of this podcast. First, you'll hear from Misty Bass, who filled in well when Jones missed time last year. Then you'll hear from Kelsey Griffin, the other leading candidate for time, coming off a fantastic summer season in Australia and with an exciting new outlook on things. Finally, you'll hear from two of the dark horses in this race. The Sun has three undrafted free agents in camp that can play the four, and I talked to two of them together. LaToya Williams has played internationally after playing no higher than junior college ball. Shatila von Grinsven comes to camp from St. Joseph's University in PA. And the third player, who is not included in this podcast, is former Cal star Ashley Walker. At least one of those three will most likely make the roster. So, I hope you enjoy a look at the Connecticut Sun, the defending Eastern Conference regular season champions, in a preseason WNBA Dishin' and Swishin'. Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm good.
So, welcome back to another WNBA season.
Thank you.
Now, by all accounts, it seemed like, following your Twitter feed, it seems like you had a really, not only a successful winter, but also it seems like you had a really good time.
I did. It was great. I had a great experience and a great time.
Now, it seems that, you know, there's two different ways to handle things. You could stay in your room and watch a lot of movies, or
right.
You can get out and you could see and learn the culture. And you
right.
certainly seem to enjoy doing all of that.
Yeah, that's a good thing about Israel. It's so much to do, it's so much to see. You have to get out. And it's great weather. Why not?
So what was your favorite thing that you saw? What made the most impact on you?
Ooh, that's a hard one right there. But we actually got to go to Eilat, Israel, mm-hmm. which is like, I've never been on vacation yet. So for us to be able to have a few days to fly down there and just
beautiful
be on
area.
The Red Sea and just do a lot of different things. We took ATVs through the desert. It was like a movie.
You mean the water out here isn't like the Red Sea?
No.
Let's talk about going into this season. Now, in some ways, it's got to be a little bit like being a rookie again
yeah.
with the new coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike showed a lot of confidence in you through the injuries, and you rewarded him with tremendous performance last year. How do you build on that, and how do you impress a new coaching staff?
I'm just going to continue to do what I've been doing. Play hard, practice hard, learn every day. Of course, it's a whole new different staff, so we have to get used to different things and a different system, a different defensive scheme. Everything is new, so you really have a new opportunity, and that's what I'm taking from it.
What is the toughest thing when you first come into camp to learn? Is it, you know, in particular offense or defense, or is it even just the verbiage that goes with playing?
It could be all of that. These past few days in camp, we've been learning a lot on defense. She's big on defense, which is good. And we're just trying to get used to that, get a good habit going with that, and get adjusted.
Now, you're coming off what was a career year for you so far. So do you put any extra pressure on yourself? Do you feel there's any extra pressure?
Not at all. Not at all. I'm just going to continue to do what I've been doing.
Hi, Kara. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Kara, I'll ask you, as long as I got both of you here and before everybody else gets here, I was just asking Allison about the difference in coming in, the toughest thing to learn under a new coaching staff. Is it just the offenses, the defense, the verbiage? What do you think is different that's the most difficult to first grasp?
Yeah, just probably the vocabulary. The calls for different things, although we haven't really got too much into the calls. We all have gotten to the point where we were so instinctive, and especially defensively, knowing the calls, whether it's the coverages on ball screens, things like that. And now they're going to be called something totally different. And so before, when you heard something, your body automatically moved to how it was supposed to. And now when you hear something, you're going to have to stop and try and remember what that means. And so that's probably, although we haven't run into too much of it yet, that's probably the biggest challenge.
Now, one of the things, you know, I asked Allison, she had a career year last year. You pretty much did too. She said there was just the self-pressure to succeed is just continued on herself. There's no extra pressure or to build on that. Do you feel that there's anything different having had that success coming in this year? Are you looking to, you know, do you feel any more pressure with that? Or is it just a matter of you want to just keep continuing to grow and build on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you always evaluate your season and you look back and what jumps out at you are the areas you felt like you could have done better. And so, you know, you never really give yourself a huge pat on the back and say, oh, yeah, that was my best year. I'm good. I'm going to, you know, sit back and relax, because this league is so competitive and the margin for error. We're all so close from being in the rotation to not being in the rotation, from being not in the rotation to not having a job. That's how competitive it is here. So you don't have time to sit and rest and, you know, pat yourself on the back.
Now, last year, Mike really juggled the three of you, you two and Renee, with point guard responsibilities. And, you know, is that something that you anticipate will be a role that you'll continue on? I mean, is that, Allison, do you feel that, has coach given you the indication that, you know, the point guard duties will still kind of be the same type of committee, just, you know, divide up?
I mean, she hasn't really given us any roles yet. I mean, I expect to be starting point guard. I mean, that's my expectation coming in. But I also understand that that's something that you have to work for and you have to earn in training camp. So that's the way I'm looking at it. You have an expectation and a goal coming into camp, but you understand that you're going to have to fight for it.
And Ellie, you may have been listed sort of as a two guard, but you handled the point just as the two of you were really interchangeable.
I mean, yeah, if she was covered, I would handle the ball. If I was covered, she would handle the ball. Just whoever was open, really. I mean,
and I think it depends on the play call, too. I mean, depending on, like, you know, if we're trying to get Allison into an advantageous situation, if we feel like she's got a good matchup, you know, then, yeah, I'm going to bring the ball up and she's going to run off screen or even sometimes she'll bring the ball up and come up a high pick. And same thing, if coach was trying to get me a free look at the basket and screen, then, of course, Allie would handle. I think it just depended on who was hot, how that person was playing, and the matchup that they had. It's a luxury for us to have guards that can all handle and pass and score.
One question for you, Kara. As a veteran now, with Asia not here, how much more of the leadership on and off the court steps up to you? I feel you have to be a little more vocal and seek people out with Asia not being here.
By nature of my position as a point guard, I think I've probably been the most vocal player. I mean, you know, you could ask Allie, but I think I've been the most vocal player since I've been here in the three seasons. What's changed is each year that has gone on, players, they become pros. They're not college. You know, Allie's not in the first year out anymore. So she knows what to do. She knows how to guard Becky Hammond. She knows how to guard Simone Augustus. So there's not as much, you know, back and forth because she knows it. So I don't think at all I have to change anything that I've done the last 3 years. I think all of our players are kind of equipped to handle themselves now. And at least the ones that have been here from, you know, from the beginning, that class, they're all kind of the same year. Allie and Tina and Kelsey and I think Kalena. So, you know, it's the training wheels have been off with those guys and they know what they're doing.
Allie, when you look at the improvements and the changes in the Eastern Conference, how difficult is it? You guys had the best record. Unfortunately, the playoffs didn't work out the way that we had all hoped. How much more difficult do you anticipate this season to be with all the changes that have gone on inside the conference with New York and Atlanta's changes even, and, you know, Chicago, of course?
I mean, of course it's going to be a fight every night. We're all going to have to come in and step up and, you know, just do whatever it takes to get wins. And everybody has a great team. It's the WNBA. Everybody's good. So it's just all about us and what we had to do and the things that we had to get better at and adjusted to and just go from there.
Kara, one final question for you. all the publicity, all the praise and everything on the three rookies in particular in the rookie class coming in. As a veteran, I had talked with some of the people and the coaches and the general managers that all were talked about how you guys were going to want to get and show your turf to the rookies. Do you feel there was some tweeting going on during the publicity, during the PR event about the new changes with the logo and stuff from some of the veterans talking about, you know, we've been here a long time and, you know, the rookies aren't, they are not going to take this over. Do you feel that this is a good thing for the league to promote like they are? Or do you think that, is it just irrelevant? It's just a matter of who's going to go out there and play?
Well, this is really a long answer to the question. I'm going to try and keep it short.
It was a long question.
I just think it's interesting when you look at the NBA and you have a college player. Let's take Trey Burke, who was the National Player of the Year at Michigan. Nobody says that Trey Burke is going to come in and dominate the NBA because there's Derrick Rose and there's Russell Westbrook and there's Chris Paul and there's Rajon Rondo and there's Tony Parker and there's Steph Curry. So people don't do that. Anthony Davis was the number one overall pick. He had an okay year, but he wasn't dominating the other post players. I think people don't understand that on the women's side. I think they feel like if you're great in college, you're going to come in and automatically be the best player in the WNBA. It's certainly not Brittany or Elena or Skylar's fault, or certainly not their PR push. So I don't have any bad feelings toward any of them. I've covered them for 4 years, and I like all of them a lot, and I appreciate all of them. But I think it's called professional basketball for a reason. And sure, there's a lot of proud veterans in this league. But to say that I'm going to get extra hype to play Tulsa this year, no, I'm not. You know, because the next night, I got Lindsey Whalen, and the next night I got Lindsey Harding, and the next night I got Breon January, and the next night I got Danielle Robinson. So if you're one of those people that's getting hyped for isolated games, you're going to run out of energy by the end of the year because everybody's good. And so for me, I've never been fueled by praise on somebody else. I've always just been fueled on trying to outperform my matchups on that given night.
Hi, Misty.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Oh, that's right.
Do, 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 do.
If there's one person that seems to really enjoy playing overseas, it's you.
Yes.
I mean, would you not do this if it wasn't just playing in the States and it gave you killed time between playing overseas?
No. I love overseas. I'm in love with France. I mean, I enjoy overseas in general, but I'm in love with France.
It shows in the tweets and things you say. You can just sense the buoyancy and what a good time you're having. And that's great to say. It's good to say that people go over, you know, and aren't just, you're not just hanging in the room to take advantage of everything that's there.
Nope, absolutely not. I learned the language, the culture, plenty of French friends. I enjoy
shopping.
It. Shopping. That place would kill me. But I don't care. I've really, you know, living in France for the past 3 years, I've really gotten really confident with my my style of what I wear. I can actually put myself in a box now. Before, I used to kind of jump in between styles and think different things, different types of clothing. But now I'm like, no, I know exactly who I am now when it comes to clothes.
When we started talking at the beginning of last year,
mm-hmm.
You talked about the fact that people hadn't really given you a fair shake,
mm-hmm.
and that Mike had promised you an opportunity and followed through on it, and it really was a great year.
It was, yeah.
And now Mike's gone. So what does this all mean now? You know, my first question for you is, did you ever give thought to asking to go to Washington?
I did. And only because, you know, when you come into a situation that's so good, mm-hmm. And you don't find coaches often who believe in you the way he believed in me.
When you have that, it really nourishes a player. It really gives confidence. You know, I have confidence in myself anyways, but it just gives you kind of that extra boost of, like, even he believes in me, and he's the head coach, you know, and someone to be 100% honest with you about your playing time. You know, he promised me 10 to 15 minutes. He did exactly that. Like, there is nothing that he promised me that didn't come to pass, and I give him kudos, and I respect him a hundredfold because he was the first coach that followed through for that in my career.
Now we have a situation. Coach Donovan is known as a good, as a big coach, post coach.
Yep.
And Asia's not here.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's different, other than just about everything?
Well, I'm a strong believer in everything happens for a reason. Last year, Asia got hurt. I had a lot put on my back in that situation. Everybody was like, "Oh, Asia's out. They're not going to make the playoffs, and they're not going to do this." And I was like, "Wow. What am I, chopped liver?" Like, you know? And so for me, it was an opportunity to show people that, listen, I am a role player when I'm asked to be a role player. But if you need more, I can do that too. And that's our job as professionals, to always be ready for whatever opportunity happens. So I feel like that experience last year, coming here and finding out Asia's not here, because I had really two mindsets. The first one was, okay, I'm going to have to come here and make a team, you know, because I don't have a contract. So I'm going to have to come in here and really work hard. And then Asia's gone. I'm like, oh, gosh, that just really changed things, you know. Now I'm back in the situation that I was in for only a month, you know, six, seven weeks. And now I've got to do this all season. I've got to be consistent all season, you know. So I wouldn't say I'm worried about it, but I'd say that, you know, I see things as opportunities, and it's something that I've been waiting for now 7 years, that I could actually possibly become a star of this team. And I think that's every person's dream, and not every person who dreams that has an opportunity to do so.
How big a difference is it that, you know, Kelsey is here and you're here, mm-hmm. and they brought in Ashley and a couple other, mm-hmm. some people with some size,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't go out and get anybody.
Yeah, they didn't sign anybody.
They showed the confidence in the two of you, and, you know, obviously, that you'll be able to step in and do that. And they didn't draft a four either.
Mm-mm.
That must have made you feel good and given a little more credence to your thoughts about coming back and the opportunity being there.
Well, yeah, I was actually very surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was surprised. I expected them to get another vet. You know, in this league, it's very difficult to get young players and mold them very quickly in order to compete, not just play, but compete in this league and to be efficient in this league and have confidence so very quickly. It's very few. Kara and I were just talking about that. It's very few post players that can make that transition that quick. And so I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. So I was thinking maybe they're waiting for Sandrine to come after July. You have all these thoughts, but so I never really actually thought about, well, oh, they got the confidence in me. Like, I didn't even think about it like that. I've just, you know, when you miss a big piece of the puzzle, you're like, okay, who's going to fill it? Like, who's going to do that? You know?
Is Sandrine going to come over to you?
I have no idea.
You're the France expert.
But, you know, I know she wants to come back, but I don't know if it's here. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah.
So what has to be done with the changes in the East? And you guys came so close last year. It was just, you know.
That's as far as you
Yes, that killed me.
What has to be done to make the next step?
Well, our biggest thing last year was we sucked at some defense. You know, we could score a million points. But when it came to that defensive end, we just weren't strong enough. There was times where, you know, we just couldn't close games. There was, you know, a couple games we shouldn't have lost that we did because of defensive breakdowns or, you know, where things just weren't going for us on the defensive end. Like, offense has never been a problem for us. Just because we're that well gelled, we've played so long with one another that we just know how to work off each other offensively. But that's where Coach Donovan comes in and was like, listen, you guys suck at some defense, so we're going to change that. We're changing. So we're going to be tough in defense, and we're not going to be eighth in points allowed, which is great, because if that's something that we have to change to win a championship, then that's what we're going to do.
So what is an Alaskan girl doing in Australia and thriving the way that you did, from all accounts, both as a person and a player?
Yeah, well, I think my approach to it was, you know, kind of, you know, go down there, see what it's about. I was playing with an old college teammate, and so just kind of go in and just kind of have a go. You know, it wasn't really full of expectations or feeling like I had to prove myself or be this import that was just going to save the day. Like, I was just going to go in there and just get back to who I was and have a vacation while I was doing it. And, you know, I really found myself again as far as that balance between life and basketball. And I think for too long, especially over in Europe, because it's hard, it just seems like everything's about basketball all the time. And that's not how I personally thrive on the court. You know, I need a good balance between my personal life in basketball, and I really got back to that down there.
It seemed like from the beginning, when you first got here,
mm-hmm.
you were in a tough place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, you came in off the trade with high expectations, and then you were trying to semi-learn a new position. Well, a lot of learning a new position.
Yeah.
Which is tough to begin with, and in addition to adjusting to the speed of the game.
Right.
Then the next year you come in and all of a sudden you're hearing that, you know, fans are thinking, okay, this was a position that could have been Maya Moore potentially,
mm-hmm.
even though that wasn't correct.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really a new opportunity for you, new coaching staff. You know, talk about the difference in just an overall attitude coming in this year from the first 2 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, I try to approach training camp the same way every year. Obviously, my rookie year was a lot different because I had no idea what to expect. But since then, you know, it's been about preparing myself to help this team win a championship. And I feel like I'm a pretty selfless player in the fact that I'll take a back seat to somebody if they need it, so that, you know, if that's what the team needs for us to win. And I think too much of my selflessness got taken for granted in the sense of not confident or not wanting to be out there, not wanting it bad enough. And so for me, when I went back to Australia and I really got back to just focusing on me and what I think and what I know about myself, instead of so much of what people speculate and think is going on with me or my confidence levels and things like that. And so coming back after this season, being able to be balanced, getting back to the way I play, now it's not, I don't think I've even come close to reaching my potential. And that's what I'm so excited about this coaching staff. And I made really clear to Am is that I want to get better. That was my biggest thing about coming to the league, was I just wanted to get better. I knew that I had so much more potential than in college. And I knew that there were parts of my game that I could really develop. And so for me, coming into this camp, having the sense of knowing who I am, knowing the kind of player I am, getting back to that, and then also being excited to improve and help the team out this year. I mean, it does, I wouldn't say a breath of fresh air, but it's definitely a different feeling than years in the past.
And there's a sense of stability, knowing that you're all set for next year, next summer.
Right, also. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, knowing that I'm going back to Australia, it's really nice. I don't think a lot of people understand the pressure players play it with on the court, knowing that they're just maybe one game away from making so many more thousands of dollars overseas, or, you know, they have to get on the court, they have to do well because it's for their career, in a sense that overseas teams are looking at it, or it could be the game film to break free. And so to be able to completely take that pressure off, not worry about that at all, it's pretty nice.
In the meantime, your college program is certainly starting to thrive.
Yes, you know, they are.
And now Lindsay trying out for the Lynx.
Yeah.
And Hooper is certainly tearing things up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's no longer just, you know, look what Kelsey did. It's now,
yeah,
hey, you know, Nebraska's quite a program.
Well, and that was what I was a part of, you know, and the players before me, was building it around, trying to turn it into a basketball powerhouse. And now, I wouldn't necessarily say we're a powerhouse yet, but we're more recognized as a basketball program, and we're definitely on people's radars, which is exciting, you know. And you go back to Lincoln and you look at the facilities that have been built because of players like me and players before me who put the time in to build this team that they have now. And, you know, we're getting a whole new basketball arena built right downtown. So it's pretty cool, actually, to be a part of that. And then to be able to also help Lindsay out. You know, like when I went back before I came here, I was able to sit down and talk with her and be like, you know, this is what's going on. This is what's probably going to be like. Help her out with agents. All stuff that I didn't have any help with because no one before me had done it. So, it's nice to be able to give back, and I'm excited for them. I'm excited for her and Jordan both, and I think Lindsay will do well.
Well, you certainly picked a good time to boost the game and get the confidence back with Asia sitting out the season. So you go into a situation where it's, you know, right now it's you, Misty, and whoever else, you know, steps up and gets a roster spot. How do you approach just taking that spot and going for it yourself, you know, just taking control of it and showing everybody exactly what you're made of in that role?
Well, I think too much of my mindset in the past have been, you know, I'm surrounded by Asia, Kara, Tina. I've got these three incredible scorers on my team. Because I feel like if you look defensively, I've never lacked confidence. I've always been a pretty tenacious defender, and I've always got after it. But on offense, I think my mindset wasn't so much of a lack of confidence, but a, like, okay, well, is this jump shot really the best jump shot we're going to get? Or if I create for Tina, or if I get swing the ball so that, you know, Asia gets an open jumper, is that a better shot? And so I think now, realizing that, you know, with Asia's 13-7, I think Coach Donovan said, missing, I need to be more offensively minded. And that's, you know, and to be more aggressive and to be playing, thinking about scoring instead of so much about trying to create for my teammates. And I'm not saying that that isn't important as well, but to have more of that mindset because of the role that I feel I'll be playing on this team this year.
You're going to bring back the zigzags, too?
I don't have anyone to braid my hair, and I can't French braid, so I don't think it's going to happen, not this year.
Well, yeah, we certainly saw the offensive game all throughout college and then this past summer in Australia. So we know that it can be done, that's for sure. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, it just, you know, I got to tell you honestly, even just sitting here with you now, I don't know if it's also just a year older or what, but just you seem like you're a much happier, more confident person.
Yeah, definitely happier. You know, I really just being back in Australia really centered me. You know, it really helped me to realize what's important in life, and basketball is just a game. Now, granted, I'm trying to make the most of my career, and I want to make a name for myself and really prove that, or I don't know, I don't want to say prove because I don't feel like I owe anything to anybody, but show the basketball player that I can be. And but at the same time, that's not my entire life. You know, like I have a great family. I've got other things going for me, and so to not get so caught up in, you know, all of this basketball stuff, but to have that balance for me, which is what I need to be most successful on the court. And so I'm really excited about where I'm at as far as those things go.
So Shatila Latoya, welcome to WNBA Camp 2013.
Yes, thank you.
And welcome to Connecticut.
Thank you.
So far, you guys came, and the weather has been fantastic,
right.
So it's off to a great start.
We are loving it, yes.
Are you getting a chance to get outside, or are you spending all your time in here?
Mostly in the gyms. At the self-free time, we have to definitely go outside a little bit, yeah, enjoy the beautiful weather, summertime, yeah.
How has camp been so far? I mean, you're coming into a camp that's got some serious veteran talent, but you got a coach that is outstanding with posts. So it's got to be both a good and a bad from both of those aspects, right?
Right.
I mean, it goes both ways. Good, like you said, a good and a bad, but you got to take it as it comes.
Yeah, exactly.
Take the good and the bad.
Yeah,
you can learn from it and make a lot happen from it. So.
So how have you enjoyed it so far? Has it been good? You enjoying the workouts?
Yeah.
What's the difference between college and now the WNBA here?
Oh, the speed of the game is so much faster. Even though, like, we competed Division One, you know, with, like, the best teams in the nation, you still, like, now you're competing with the best women in the nation. And the speed of the game is just a lot faster. Like, girl, you know, the women are stronger. And so, like I said earlier, like, you know, the first 5 minutes or so, you know, the first practice, we kind of had to adjust to the speed of the game. But then afterwards, I think we all adjusted very fast. And, I think we're pretty much on the roll. So,
you've got international experience.
Yes.
So you are a little more familiar with what's going on here.
Yes, I am.
So how is that how is it translated compared to what you've seen in the past?
I mean, it's a big adjustment, like she said. Like, for me especially, because I came from a JUCO and straight into it, like straight to the overseas, so it was like a hard adjustment for me. But you learn really fast. It's either you get with it or just quit. But,
for people that don't know your background, can you tell what your background is and how you
Went to junior college 2 years, and after that I went straight overseas and played. I've been to like 5 different countries. I play against some of the best WNBA basketball players ever. I was in EuroLeague, so I got good experience with a lot of them.
Who's the toughest you feel you've played against?
What is
his
name? The big post players. Big post player that they were just talking about. Who was having practice.
Still?
Sylvia Fowles. That is the toughest post player I've came across yet. But it was a good battle, though. It was a lesson learned, though. She taught me a lot. I learned a lot from her actually playing against her. Really a lot.
Now, you've played in Connecticut.
Right.
And, you know, we saw you in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And you struggled a little bit in the first half, but you didn't let it get you down, and you turned it on in the second half.
Yeah.
So how do you move up from the NCAA tournament and what you gathered playing against a big D1 school and who else you played with St. Joe's to what you're going to see now?
Right. I mean, the little things really count, I think. And like I said, I think the most important thing that I've learned in college is, you know, to always keep fighting and to always believe and to always work as hard as you can and never take a break, really. And I think those are the little things I've learned, you know, in college that, you know, kept me going and to being able to compete, you know, on the highest level, really, in college. And I think these little things will keep me going in the next level. So hopefully here and there, and they'll be here as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.